The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord. If you were invited to a baby shower, what kind of gift would you normally bring to the baby shower? Well, I suppose if most of us were invited to the baby shower, we'd probably bring something for the baby. We might bring a cute little baby blanket, or baby clothes, a layette, or maybe a rattle, or diapers, or maybe even a little teddy bear. I mean, it's only logical. After all, it is a baby shower. Well, today in the gospel, we see the three wise men being invited to a baby shower. They're invited to the baby shower for Jesus. And what gifts do we see them bring? Do they bring anything that would be considered useful for the baby? Anything that a baby might like? Well, no, not at all. They bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I'm sure St. Joseph was happy about it, but it wasn't really very appropriate for a baby shower. Strange gifts to bring to a baby. So how are we to make any sense of this? Well, to discover the meaning of the gifts, I'd like to help to take a little closer look at who the wise men were. In the original language that Scripture is written in, the wise men is really written as magi. The Magi. The Magi were actually interesting characters. The very best of Magi in the ancient world were counselors to king, wise men to kings. But by far, the majority of the Magi were often men who also practiced the dark arts, men who dealt with the occult, astrology, fortune-telling, sorcery, incantations, and spells. In the books of Acts, we have other places where Magi are mentioned. In Acts chapter 8, we read how Simon the magician opposed Peter. And in Acts 13, we read how Elymas the magician opposed Paul. And at the time of Christ, the rabbis had a well-known saying about Magi. They said, "If anyone learns anything from Magi, let him be accursed by God." And yet God reveals to these three Magi the birth of his son. And the Magi believe They set out on this long journey, which scripture scholars say must have taken many months, maybe as many as 9 or 10 months, because they would have come from far away, from Persia, in order to find Christ and lay their gifts at his feet. So we're getting a little bit closer to understanding the significance of the gifts and why the Magi lay these specific gifts at his feet. But we just need one more thing to really understand the real meaning of these gifts. In the ancient world, there's really no evidence at all, historically, that people would give others gifts at the birth of a baby. There's just no historical evidence for it. We see, for example, Mary, when she went to visit her cousin St. Elizabeth, precisely to help Elizabeth in the last 3 months of her pregnancy, and then help with the birth of John the Baptist, there's no indication that Mary brought any gift. And if it would have been a custom, I'm sure Mary, who's the most charitable of all people, would have certainly brought a gift, but she doesn't. So there's no indication of that being a custom in the ancient world. And also, in the ancient world, it was actually not appropriate to give a gift to someone you considered to be your king. In fact, it would be considered a grave insult to give the king a gift. And why is that? Well, because in the ancient world, everyone accepted and believed that everything you possessed belonged by right to your king. Whatever you owned, whatever you possessed, whatever you used was simply being entrusted to you by your king. And since the king owned everything in the realm, it was not possible to give him a gift, because whatever you decided to give him was already his by right. But at the same time, in the ancient world, if you decided to seek an audience with your king, it was unthinkable that you would come before him empty-handed. That would also be terribly insulting and presumptuous, not to bring your king an offering. But everyone understood that the offering you brought to the king was not a gift. The offering was usually something that had to do with your livelihood. Maybe some of the gifts that you, the tools that you use in your trade, something that was precious to your livelihood, something that you did, something that represented who you were and what you did. And by offering these to the king, you were symbolically expressing your submission and loyalty to the king, acknowledging his authority over you. It was saying to the king, this represents who I am. It represents my talents, my abilities, what I do, and I pledge them to you, to your service. So bringing the gifts to baby Jesus, the Magi were acknowledging Jesus as their king. And the gifts were gifts they used in their work, the tools of their trade. And Magi did use gold, frankincense, and myrrh in their jobs, in their profession. Myrrh. At the time period in Persia, history tells us that Magi would use myrrh as ink to write out their spells and incantations. And gold and frankincense, well, the Magi would use little flakes of gold and frankincense and mix it into the papyrus and mix them into the ink that they used from the myrrh. And this would give the writings a mysterious glitter or glow. And so what we see here at the birth of Jesus is that the Magi are bringing their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These gifts represented what they did. They represented their talents, their abilities. It represented who they were, and they're surrendering themselves and all they had and all they could do to Jesus, their king. So they were now at his disposal to be used in his service. So that's sort of the meaning behind what's happening in the gospel today. And so this brings us now to the present. How does this gospel passage apply to us? Well, I guess first we can ask ourselves a few questions. Do we realize that all the good gifts we have been given in life, our abilities, our talents and interests, they are God's gifts to us. They belong to him. They come from him. They're given to us to be used in his service. The saints had a really good way of, they understood this very well. St. Teresa of Lisieux used to say that she would imagine herself as a little child walking hand in hand with Jesus. And all her good abilities and gifts and talents she had were, Jesus would put them as precious jewels in a purse and give the purse to her to carry. But the purse and the jewels didn't belong to her, they were his. She was just being allowed to carry them for as long as he wanted. And that's a really good image of all good gifts in our lives are God's gifts to us. So do we understand that? And then do we also, like the Magi, have we consciously brought our gifts to God, our talents and abilities, and surrendered them to him to be used in his service? So this also assumes that we know what our gifts are. And I would be willing to bet that many of us, maybe even most of us, are not aware of all the gifts that God has given us. This was certainly true in my own life. I remember when I was in high school taking a questionnaire that was supposed to help us identify what our interests and abilities were and suggest possible good careers for us to enter into. Well, you'd never guess when my questionnaire came back, the results were for me. They indicated that I would be suited to maybe go into social work or become a preacher. And I remember thinking at the time, what a stupid test. I mean, I had nothing to do with religion at the time, and I hated speaking in front of people. So I thought that was just for the birds. Well, lo and behold. Then at university, after my conversion experience, I started attending weekly meetings at a local Catholic church. And in one meeting, we were instructed to break up into groups of six or seven people in each group. And then we were given slips of paper and asked to write down one or two good qualities we saw in each person. And then we all handed that our slips of paper to those people. So each of us received six or seven slips of paper with the good qualities or gifts other people saw in us. And you know, the one good quality, I don't remember any of the good qualities except this one, because to me it was a real insult. The one quality that people said over and over again on their slips of paper to me is they saw in me a real gift of gentleness. And I was insulted because, I mean, I played all kinds of sports in high school. I had been involved in martial arts for a number of years. And so I equated gentleness with wimpiness. And I certainly didn't want to think of myself as being gentle or wimpy. And then I remember being part of the charismatic renewal at the time and being prayed over and being told that I was being the gift, given the gift of understanding. And I remember understanding, I don't even know what I want to do in life. How can I be given the gift of understanding? And I was having a hard time in some of my courses. Understanding seems so improbable. But now when I look back, I was given all those gifts. And they were all now very useful in my vocation. And it took me a long time to realize and even accept that I was given these gifts. And I did not come to this realization on my own, but it was through other people and that I came to know that I had these gifts, that I was finally able to accept them, understand their value, and now hopefully am using them in the service of the Lord. And so how about you? Do you know what gifts God has blessed you with? And are you using them to serve Christ and help build up his people? Well, starting this Thursday from 6:30 to 8 o'clock, and just for the next three Thursdays, we'll be running something called a network program. It's three evenings with video presentations each evening, group discussions, questions and answers, and questionnaires. And we will be working through this little booklet, this participant's guide. And by the end of the three-week program, you will have identified your top three or four gifts that God has given to you, plus your personal style and how you use them, and areas of your greatest interest. So network is a way in which you can learn how you can serve God in the way that you have been created to serve him and called to serve him, and also what areas of service you will be most effective in, as well as what you will find the greatest satisfaction for yourself. So if you're interested in this little program, there's more information in the bulletin, and please call the office to let us know you plan on attending. And if you can't attend due to work schedules or commitments but would like to one day, well, we're going to offer this more on a regular basis. Let us know, and then we'll try to adjust the next course to suit your time schedule and accommodate as many people as possible. And so today we see the three wise men, or the Magi, are men the church recognizes and calls truly wise, because they took the gifts that they had been given and surrendered them to the service of Christ. And this is an example that God wanted to have recorded in Scripture for all time, because it's by acknowledging our gifts, accepting them, and using them in God's service that we will find great satisfaction in what we do in life, and also we will be accomplishing more and more of His plan for our lives.